satisfied. Start here to be satisfied. One of my favorite words found in the Bible. One of my least favorite words to be found in the world, because the world is a lie. But to see the word satisfy when it shows up in Scripture pertaining to satisfaction in Jesus, I'm like circling it, underlining, highlighting it, exclamation marks around it. Why? Because everything within me says this is where life is lived. All of life is lived ultimately in the fulfillment found only in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, a big hello to all of our listeners out there today who are joining us at Live in the Light. I'm Craig Turnbull, and I get to host this program, and Robbie Simons, who is our teacher and preacher, is also in our studio with us today. And I think I speak on behalf of both Robbie and I when we say that we're super excited for today's message in a big way. We're in the middle of a little mini-series in the Book of Psalms looking at three foundational psalms. And last time, we looked at Psalm 1, and today's text takes us to a very important need for all of our hearts, and honestly, Robbie, a need that many people are trying to place and fill elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's why you're excited, right?
Yeah, totally excited by this.
I love how you get excited too, Craig. I really do, yeah.
It's I love how you get excited, yeah.
And so what are we doing today? Well, we are going to look at the theme through Psalm 16, and really the title is Start Here to Be Satisfied. You know, whenever I see that word pop up in Scripture or that theme, it really gets my attention. Why? Because I spent a long time in my life trying to be satisfied with that, which just doesn't work. When you encounter Jesus Christ, you join with the Apostle Paul who says, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What is that? Jesus is satisfaction. This psalm points us, hey, you want to be satisfied? Like really, really satisfied. I'm not talking about satisfied temporarily for a couple of minutes watching some TV show and filling our faces with food we shouldn't be eating in the first place. I'm talking about a satisfaction that is found in eternal proportions that truly causes us to look up and say, wow, this is awesome. It's supernatural. It's Jesus Christ. It's found in His Word, and we go there today.
All right, so another big message for us here today at Live in the Light, and we're praying that your hearts are open and ready to receive God's truth for you. Let's join again with Pastor Robbie in Psalm 16 again with today's message, Start Here to Be Satisfied.
Psalm 16 is where we are, our second week in our series called Start Here Psalms. And why are we doing these psalms? Well, they are chosen psalms that are designed to be the compass for our souls, right? So I always love that. So you have God's word, and last week we were learning it's really a light switch in some ways. You turn it on, the light starts shining, but it's also a compass, right? So when you're lost and you don't know where to go, you open God's word, and then the Holy Spirit's like, go this way. That's what we're doing right now. So these psalms are a compass for our souls, and also they're a map for our heart. They show us where we need to be in terms of what direction. And again, it provides us for the map of life. So that's a big deal, right? It's a big deal to have your compass and your map. This is what God's word does. That's why we're in these psalms. I wonder how many of you did your homework this past week? A couple? And I want to remind you, it's not so much homework we're doing, but heart work, right? That's really what it is. This is what God uses to change our lives and change our hearts. And so the first week we began appropriately in Psalm 1, and that was called Start Here to Be Blessed. Blessed is the man, as it goes on to say, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it, the law, he meditates day and night. So beautiful. And now this week in Psalm 16, our title is this, Start Here to Be Satisfied. Start Here to Be Satisfied. One of my favorite words found in the Bible. One of my least favorite words to be found in the world, because the world is a lie. But to see the word satisfy when it shows up in Scripture pertaining to satisfaction in Jesus, I'm like circling it, underlining, highlighting it, exclamation marks around it. Why? Because everything within me says this is where life is lived. All of life is lived ultimately in the fulfillment found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that note, start here to be satisfied. Let's start with a quote from C.S. Lewis, a very famous quote. You should know this quote, but let's hear it again. He says this, "If I find in myself," this is from his wonderful book, Mere Christianity, "if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." And this really defines our world, that we were ultimately made for another world, because nothing else will satisfy within this world. And David, who wrote Psalm 16, he would give a big amen to that quote by C.S. Lewis, because really it's the heart of this 16th Psalm. So just as we begin with this start here to be satisfied, let me ask us some questions. Are you satisfied in life? Are you really? Now, if I came up to you right now and if I asked you that, you'd probably be like, oh, yeah, I'm satisfied. Yeah. Because you know what to say. We all know what the thing to say is. We know the right thing to say. But really, like in your life, is there a peace? Is there a contentment? Is there true fulfillment? Is there a sense of satisfaction in what matters? Are you wandering? Are you lost? Are you dazed and confused? Are you so preoccupied? Maybe you're right now and you're like, I'm not even really sure if I'm satisfied or not. The Bible tells us again this weekend that satisfaction is found ultimately in one place and in one person. And we go there again through Psalm 16. Start here to be satisfied. Again, it reminds me of that, and I love this quote so much. We've said it a couple times over the years of this church, but Rev. Zacharias, he says this. He says, "The loneliest moment in life is when you've just accomplished what you thought was the ultimate, and it let you down." That's our world, loved ones. That's our world, I'm watching Tom Brady last year win his fifth Super Bowl. Ugh. All right? Not a big Tom Brady fan. But at the end of the day, I feel sorry for him. He has all these accolades, all the money. He's got the supermodel wife. He's got all the trophies, more than ever. At the end of the day, he's going to bring it all before the Lord in judgment. And God will be like, "You have all the trophies. Do you have my son?" The loneliest moment in life is when you accomplish what you thought was the ultimate. Maybe it's not your fifth Super Bowl ring, but it could be that new purchase and that relationship you've always dreamed of, or the child you wish you could have, or the job you wanted to get to, or the home and whatever. It's lonely when you get it and you realize it's not enough. This is why the message of satisfaction is only ultimately found in Jesus Christ, in his word. I'm excited. I pray you're excited to begin this as well, okay? So what happens? Well, we start here for satisfaction. Start where? Point number one. Let me say it to you. It's this. Start here for satisfaction. I must depend on the Lord. You want to be satisfied? You got to depend on himself, not on the world. You have to depend on the Lord. Where are we going to get this from? God's word. What are we going to do? Verse by verse through Psalm 16. So let's look at verse 1 then. Here's what David says. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord," notice the dependence all over this verse and verses. "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." Psalm 16 is a psalm of confidence of David towards his God. Psalm 16, it's a tremendous psalm of peace and confidence, as I said, and resting in the Lord. David is taking stock of life and of what matters. At the end of the day, in many, many ways, he says, "I am good because I am in my God. He is my satisfaction." David's confidence is 100% rooted in the Lord. How's your confidence? Are you self-confident? Maybe you're here right now, you find yourself filled with insecurity, which plagues so many of our hearts. It's so interesting, between the two extremes of self-confidence, which turns into arrogance, pride, and insecurity, which is another form of pride. Between these two extremes, they will both lead to emptiness. They will both lead to a void of true satisfaction. Now, notice how, again, in verses 1 and 2, in every phrase, there's dependence and confidence in the Lord. Let's just break it down. Notice David says, "Preserve me, O God." So David, right away, he understands that his protection and his literal preservation is in the Lord, okay? Is your heart beating right now? Take a pulse, make sure, right? How is that possible? Because Jesus Christ sustains you. He is literally allowing you to exist right now. Are you breathing? I hope you're breathing. That is the Lord of the universe allowing your lungs to function and the brain and the heart sealing together that we might take breaths and live. We are literally preserved by the Lord, but our protection is from the Lord. Notice what he says next. He says, "For in you I take refuge." Refuge. The Lord is David's shelter, fortress, hiding place. I mean, just think about that. If you're hiding in something, you are depending in that. If something is your shelter, you are seeking dependence in that shelter. If you run to a fortress to be covered, that is something you are massively depending on for security. This is our God. This is David. He finds his satisfaction in the Lord through dependence upon him. So basic, but so important. Again, in verse 2, he declares, "You are my Lord." Now, by the way, notice what we see here. In the first two verses, we have three words for God. You see them? Three words for God, three different words for God that David uses in verses 1 and 2. Notice the first one is the Hebrew. It's God in verse 1. "Preserve me, O God." That's the Hebrew word El. The most common name for God, meaning strong or mighty. "Preserve me, O mighty, O strong God." Then we see Lord in verse 2 with all caps. That is the formal name for God in Yahweh, that God is self-existent. He is self-sufficient. There is no one else. It is the great I am. And then we see the third word for God here. He says, "You are my Lord." That is Adonai, master or ruler. So in just 1.5 verses, you have David referring to his mighty God, self-existing, great I am God, and then master, Lord, ruler, Adonai, God. I mean, just think, notice the intimacy with which David knows and relates to his God. Are we like that? Notice the dependence that David has upon his God. And then notice, I love that. I mean, I just read over and over again. You know, I read today, I picked up a A.W. Tozer little book, it's impossible to bear fruit with Christ if we don't spend time with him. Our relationship with the Lord is the single greatest indicator of the fruit of our lives. Like, it never can get boring to hear that intimacy with God is everything. Like, he's everything. There is no one that comes close. He is our sustenance. He is our life. He is our absolute love. And notice this wave of dependence crests now with the declaration of, in verse 2, "I have no good apart from you." When's the last time you sincerely said that to the Lord? Again, listen, look here. Not just said it here. "Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing." But like, you meant it here. Like, it's theologically correct in your mind, but then your heart also feels the truth. "I have no good apart from you." No good. Consider that. There is no true good apart from God. Charles Spurgeon said, "Be content to be nothing, for that is what you are." I love that. And our flesh is like, what do you mean nothing? I'm not nothing. I'm something. I'm maybe not the best, but I'm not the worst. No. The true theology is be content to be nothing because that is what I am. Nothing. Nothing. I have no good apart from you. But in the Lord, all of a sudden, the goodness of life begins to be seen and known and felt and lived. Loved ones, the absence of God is the absence of true good. To forsake the Lord then, again, come on, think about it now. This is wisdom right here. To forsake the Lord is to forsake all genuine eternal goodness. You can build your life in the world. You can do all these things. You're so busy with everything else. But if God is being missed out on, we are forsaking all genuine, true goodness. And what is the goodness of God but the satisfaction of life itself? Here's how Augustine or Augustine, depending on how you want to pronounce his name, here's what he said. This quote too, we should know. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless. Empty, dissatisfied, unfulfilled until it finds its rest in thee. Only the Lord can truly satisfy. The beautiful testimony of Michelle that we just heard. I love that line. You hear that line? Is this just for Western people, this God? No. Didn't start in the West. This life is for anyone who believes. And the satisfaction of life begins. We will be restless until we find our rest in thee. That is why when the 2008 global economic crisis began and happened, you had the CEO or CFO of Freddie Mac, he hanged himself. This is why you have the CEO of Sheldon Good, he shoots himself in the head behind the wheel of his Jaguar. This is why you have the Bear Stearns executive overdosing on drugs and leaping from 29 floors up. Because the moment they lose what they believe is their treasure is the moment they have no reason now to live. Learn. Let us be wise. Let us understand the ways of the world do not work. Some of you are here right now, maybe many of us are here right now, and we think that dependence on the world is, it will not work. And the reason for that is because we are placing our dependence on something other than the Lord. Consider David pleading with us right now. Start here to be satisfied. There is no good apart from God. There is no true good, eternal good, apart from God. Start here to be satisfied. Point number two. I love this one. I will delight in the saints. You want to be satisfied? Delight in the saints. You're like, where's that from? Verse 3, look. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Verse 4, here comes the contrast. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply, and they shall leap out of buildings to their death when their money is gone. That was my insertion there, okay? Notice. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. Okay, now this is a fascinating couple of verses here. Notice this, okay? David's dependence on the Lord vertical has direct impact on his relationships horizontal. David is expressing his total satisfaction and delight in some human relationships, but then in the very next verse, he expresses deep sorrow over other human relationships. So notice in verse 3, saints. Saints are God's people. Those of us here right now, we're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We are sinners, amen? We're sinners. But we are also saints, amen? Saints, right? All because of grace. Alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are destined for glory. So God's people, notice he calls them too. He calls them, verse 3, excellent ones. It's so interesting. There's a lot of debate over that phrase among the scholarship in the Hebrew. The New Living Translation translated it, my true heroes. But notice what happens. He says, the saints who are the excellent ones, my heroes, they result in David's delight. Now we contrast that in verse 4 with multiplied sorrows of those running after false gods and then offering evil. And David essentially is saying, get me out of here. Get me away from the evil. I delight in God's saints. I am abhorring, want nothing to do with evil and the offering of the world. I want to run from that personally. And so what we learn here, there are relationships in life, listen, that truly satisfy, but there are relationships in life that are counterfeit as well. So I love here that David expresses his delight in the saints and then calling them excellent ones. And I was thinking about that this week and just like, yeah, satisfaction in relationships. And we heard this a little bit from Pastor George as he prayed tonight, but I want to show you a picture of our youth. I thought of excellent ones. So this is a picture of not all, but most of our youth leaders. And we have 53 dedicated youth leaders to our ministry. And we even have more this year than we actually need. That's a good sign right now. As our youth ministry has never, we're out of room up there, by the way, for our junior highs. There's like 3 to a seat or something, okay? And so good problems, amen, church, good problems, okay? But in many ways, I'm so thankful. And you excellent ones. Next time I see them, hello, excellent one. That'd be odd, eh? A little weird. But in many ways, you get it. You delight in when you see God at work in his people. I'm telling you, like, I come back to this church last week, and I came back on a weekend in the summer, whatever. You start to see just a couple of, it doesn't take long at all, and you're just like, man, love you, and you're the best, and I'm so glad that I'm in your life, and if you can keep smiling, just makes me feel like I'm in the right place and where I want to be, and it's just, it's kind of overwhelming, and the elders can testify to this, that recently I've said more than once, I said, you know, our people in our church are just so amazing. I talked to many of you, and inside, I should probably admit this out loud, but inside I'm like, I need to be more like you, you know? And I mean that. There's like a fragrance that's being offered up to the Lord. You don't even know you're doing it, which is why it's so beautiful. But I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm just like, wow, you're really inspiring me to be a stronger follower of Jesus Christ. That happens to me a lot around here. That's awesome. And that makes me delight. The quality of individuals seeking the Lord, it's satisfying. Now listen, David knows this and we know this too, man. God's saints aren't perfect. Can someone testify, please? We are sinful people. We are messed up, right? I mean, we fully admit that. We're not pretending we're perfect. You kidding me? We're trying to follow the one who is perfect. We know there's inconsistency. We know we sin on a daily basis. And yet, the depth and delight that is found in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You got to fight for it. It never comes easy. It takes a ton of humility. You got to push down pride. But when it's there, wow. I distinctly remember the season when I was saved. And I vividly remember I was blown away and astounded at the beauty and depth and delight that I felt in this newfound relationship with human beings who shared a love for Jesus Christ by his gospel and grace through faith. I grew up in the church for 22 years. I had no idea. No idea. I mean, I started talking to my parents for the first time when I got saved. You know, that's a slight exaggeration, but you know. But there's a relationship that just all of a sudden was just, wow. And then the friendships and then, you know, cool story. I remember when I was first saved, I was returned to Laurier University, and I was there for another semester, and I was lit up for Jesus. I joined the Campus Crusade for Christ ministry at that time, but it was just starting up, so it was like just a little small group, like 4 or 5 people. And there was this younger guy there that's probably a couple years younger than me, but just seemed such a sincere heart and just so friendly, and it almost took me under. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I was so hungry to grow, just wanted to learn about Jesus and be anywhere I could to be in fellowship with others. And this younger guy, a couple years younger again, he just was so friendly and kind, and he knew more about the Bible than I did, and he taught me and all stuff. And it was, I remember so well this individual, and wouldn't you know it, it was like, how many years later, 10, 12 years later, his name was Chris Shipley. And he is now the associate pastor of Harvest Brampton. That was our first church plant, all right? And here's a picture of Pastor Chris on the screen right here, all right? And isn't that so cool? That there he was, and he had more hair back then and no beard, all right? But but to be there and just sit there and just feel the delight and the love of what the Lord brings, it truly is satisfying. It's what Jesus has died for to bring about in our lives. You know, I love right now too, and also I could go around this room right now, I could pick out dozens, if not hundreds of people and say, I can genuinely say that I have delight in knowing that you love God and how that has impacted me in one way or another over these years that we've been in ministry together. That's the grace of God. It is so beautiful. And it is so, and you know you're not getting that in the world. You know you're not. You know you're not in the same way, man. You cannot duplicate supernatural Holy Spirit relationship. Trust me, I get it. We don't always get along. I get that. But in the heart of it all, wow, when it's right and there's a sense of the Lord working, it is so beautiful. Again, listen, the relationship of vertical and then horizontal, and I felt led this week to bring this quote back out for you because I want you to see it. This is back from a year ago right now. For some of you who are not connected to the body of Christ, okay, I guarantee you, you are outside of God's will because God's word tells us that, right? You cannot fulfill God's will for your life without being connected to his church. It's impossible. If you're not connected to the body of believers, you are not guaranteed in God's will. Take that as a serious challenge. Again, there's no promises of perfection on this side of heaven. But that's the whole point. We need each other to love each other. So, question, do you have a genuine love for God's people? Do you love other Christians? Do you seek their company? Here's another question. Are you okay with hanging out with evil? Are you at ease among open sin? Doesn't bother you? These are problems, okay? Are you right now dabbling in forms of darkness? Are you dabbling in relationships that are about to kill you? Seriously hurt you? Are you dabbing in activities, lusts? Stuff that's just, it won't satisfy for a moment, and then it's gone. And then the guilt and the regret and the self-inflicting punishment and tormenting mind. Been there. It stinks. Hear me. We love the lost 100%. Absolutely. We love the lost, that we will never be satisfied with the evil of the world. Isn't that beautiful, though? That part of our satisfaction here is that we delight in God's saints. God, help us to see that grow. Start here to be satisfied. I depend on the Lord. I will delight in his saints. Thirdly, this, I am distinctly content. You want to be satisfied? This, I then am distinctly content. Now, I love this point because it's right here. The heart of this entire message is found, and therefore the heart of true satisfaction. Now, look at verse 5 now. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, but even as I read these verses, I'm just all of a sudden just in a better mood, you know? I did a pleasant places and beautiful inheritance and chosen portion. And all of a sudden, it feels like, I mean, you read verses 5 and 6 over and over. Here's some more homework for you this week. I mean, it's hard to be grumpy when you do that.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna